Sanctification is where we were, and it was kind of long, and decided to break it in two and see what we can do with that. This word sanctification is a big word. It has to do with making things right and good. In Romans chapter 6, 11 to 14, we are in Christ, and we who are in Christ experience death, and we are buried to raise and to live a different kind of life, one that must show forth. There are a lot of things in the Scriptures that tell us about things, but they don't always describe everything within that. In Romans chapter 6, 11 to 14, we are in Christ and experience death, and we were buried and raised to live a different kind of life, one that must show forth. If you were baptized into Christ, when you did that, you died and was buried and was raised. Yes? So you went through the whole thing of the whole sanctification process. In verse 11, the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's what happened when you were baptized into Christ. Jesus Christ brought you from the death to life. So far, are you still alive? I'm not talking about physically alive. Are you still alive in Christ? Yes. How did you get there? It was given to you. It was given to me. All of us who did not deserve it, but was given to us anyway. Now that's God that loves people. That's His people. You're His people. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. You have been there. And offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness. God is not wanting your foot or your ear. He wants you. That's what He wants. He wants you and others of us to stand together in His presence and watch Him shine upon us. That's what God wants for us. Do you make blundering mistakes? Yes! God has worked out everything to make sure it works for all of us. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness. In other words, He says, and if I understand, don't be flirting with the evil one. Is there an evil one somewhere? Yes. Offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness, for sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under law, but you are under grace. What is grace? How would you define grace? You ought to be slapped, but you were patted. You got what you didn't deserve. God's will is that we live in sanctification. What could we learn to better understand sanctification? Some definitions to be understood right here are three basic words used in the Scriptures to help understand more completely. They are, number one, sanctify. The other is sanctification. And the other one is holiness. Now, I want you to be aware, sanctify and sanctification sounds almost alike, don't they? But when you move on over to holiness, you're in the same platform. The camp of Israel was said in the Scriptures to be sanctified or holy. Now, is it sanctified or is it holy? The answer is yes. So what God did is He set things apart, and we are set apart. Alan is to be Alan, and Nita's to be Nita, and I'm supposed to get a double dose of everything, and Robert. But God's on our side. We can have fun. We can do stupid stuff sometimes, and God has got to say, you know, of course, God knows everything, but if He just didn't think about it, that one slipped up on me. Sanctify, sanctification, and holiness are used in reference to places. The camp of Israel was a camp that was sanctified and holy and set apart. When you have a camp in this part of the Bible with all of the stuff that's been talked about in that, we are set apart people. We're not like the rest of the world. It contains certain rules to be adhered to. If you have these things, these rules, you stay with those rules. You don't have the right to say, well, no, I'm going to go over here and do this. The camp of Israel was set apart and holy. We have a song. This is holy ground. You're standing on holy ground. Huh? That's a good song, isn't it? But see, that's not just a church song. Before there were those songs, this is what God was singing. Holy, holy, holy. Certain rules they had to be adhered to. Cleanliness. One thing God didn't want is stinky, nasty people. I've done a lot of stuff in my life. We had a chance one time to pick some really good logs to make some things from. Way back, this is my brother and my... And we had to go to a semi-sewage thing to get those logs. I still smell it. I don't ever want to go there again. There's cleanliness room in this thing. God don't want to walk in a trash pile. Cleanliness was something big for God. And it references that kind of stuff through the scriptures. Orderly. Does orderly have a place in things? I'm going to tell you something, and I can tell y'all this because I get it pretty often. Sometimes I don't put things back right. And I asked Nita, where's so-and-so? And she said, where'd you put it? I just don't think that's fair. Has God ever asked, where'd you put it? Now, do you think God already knows where it's at? You think Nita already knows where it's at? This is the way God works. There were Sabbaths, not only weekly, 50th year in Israel. Everything in Israel rested. The 7th year, the land rested. You don't plow, you don't do anything. On the 7th day, man rested. Would today be considered a holy day? Well, we slapped ourselves a little bit too hard on that one, because it's not right. Do you hear God screaming about it? There was not a specific day of worship. I've heard people say, when you say, where are you going? We're going to worship. You ever heard that said? Let me ask you a question. Where do you have to go in order to do this worship? Is it possible for you to be in a barn with some cows, milking those cows, before you go to the assembly? You should have been at the assembly. But God knows there's certain things when you've got cows that need milking, they don't just sit around and wait. The firstborn among sons were important for the people to know. They paid a price for them. They made a sacrifice for them. There were strict rules in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. Now, if there are strict rules given, what can I do to not have to do that? What can I do to get out of doing that? You know what the answer is? Nothing. That's what God wants. That's what God is calling for. It's not what Gary wants or Alan wants or anybody else wants. It's what God wants. The priest had a sanctified priesthood. The priest is sanctified in the priesthood. He went into the presence of God. Now, let me tell you something. If you and I will tell you God invited him into that. But if we went into the presence of God, we would melt instantly. I fear that. God is not, hey, y'all come on over here and let's sit down in the shade. It's not like that. When he went into the presence of God, he was sanctified. God had strict rules. When they offered sacrifice for the sins of the people, and God had strict rules of how these things were to follow. The New Testament congregations were sanctified, and they were called the saints of God. How do you feel of being known by God as a saint? I don't feel much like a saint. I've done some stuff I should have never done. You know why? Because I hung out with some of y'all, or vice versa. But you know what? We're still called saints. Yes? God's on our side. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God and our brother Sosthenes. Sounds to me like God spoke up and said, I want this done. Everywhere who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Strict rules are to be lived by. Individuals are sanctified. To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus. How did they get sanctified? Did they sanctify themselves? And called to be His holy people together with all of those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and our Lord. Grace and peace to you from our God and Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Strict rules are here with this. But there's also individuals. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, in bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he has suffered, both the one who makes the people holy and those who are being made holy are of the same family, so Jesus is not ashamed. Listen to that. Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. If you knew that Jesus causes you brothers and sisters, would your smile be bigger? That's what God does for us. Strict rules are still applied. You can't go, you know, do what you want to do. So what does sanctify mean? Sometimes it uses the completion of God's act. Sometimes. For instance, the seventh day of creation was sanctified. In Genesis 2, 1 to 3, thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all of their vast array by the seventh day. God finished His work that He had been doing, so on the seventh day He rested from His work, and then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it He rested from all the work of creating that He had done. Sometimes it's used to show a position. Born of water and spirit, said to be the saints. Sometimes used to show a process. God takes sinful people like myself and He works with me and wants me to work with Alan to straighten him up. So Alan can get somebody else over here to straighten somebody over here. You see how they's doing that? Hebrews 12, 24 to 14. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled but healed. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 to 8. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality. Any of that going on in the world today? That each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that's holy and honorable. Not in a passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God, and that in this manner they no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all of those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject human being, but God, and the very God who gives you His Holy Spirit. Sounds to me like it's keeping up pretty good with everything that needs to be kept up with. We must hunger and thirst for righteousness. Matthew 5, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. What about those who don't want righteousness? What'll they get? What'll you end up with? Nothing. You hang with God, what do you get? Get it all. We can't have a convenient holiness, because holiness gets into our lives as a lifestyle. That's not something you just hang on your ear or something. In Romans 6, 4, we were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death in order that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, that we too may have a new life. All this thing about being baptized, I don't believe anything. I don't believe in that baptism stuff, just somebody getting water. This is what God was saying. This is what I'm going to do, God said. I'm going to wash you clean. Well, that's dirty water you're washing me in. Is it the water that's the problem, or is it the heart? Yeah. God could immerse you in kerosene if He wanted to, and you would still come out smelling good. Romans 12, 1 and 2, the mind must be reconstructed. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, good will and pleasing and perfect will. 2 Corinthians 7, 1. Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates the body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. And God will tell us again down in 2 Corinthians 6:14-18, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do the righteous and the wicked have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Baal? Baal is a pagan god. Christ is the real deal. Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of God. No, we're at the church house. Do you know there's really not even actually a church house? Now, did we create one? Did God? No. God gave us what He wanted to give us. That was all right for Him to go in a temple if He wanted to. But He didn't go stay there very long. Here's something, 2 Corinthians 7:1. Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates the body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them, and it's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. I don't want to be that. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. We should have an intense desire for holiness that we strain every muscle to attain it. Just like the great mile runners who strain with all they have to finish the race. That's what God wants us to do. I don't know if you know this or not, but I have to give you this information. God told me this a long time ago. You're going to die. Do you know that? You are going to not only die, you're going to be graveyard dead. You're going to be put in a hole. Maybe you'll get a nice little box and maybe you just get a shovel. But I have a God that can raise anything or anyone from the dead, yes or no. I don't have to worry that I mess up. I don't want to mess up, but I do it pretty regular. Seems like more now than used to be. But I'm going to tell you what, I serve a God who does it right. And if anybody else comes along and say, oh, we've got another God over here that's more powerful, this one over here. If you go back and read some stuff in the Old Testament, you'll see where they had some of those battles. And they didn't do real well. They kind of got just evaporated. And they were gone. So I'm going to tell you this. This is God's warning. Hebrews chapter 12:14-17. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see God. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau. For a single meal sold his inheritance right as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. Even though he sought the blessing with tears, he could not change what he had done. I don't want to be in that one, do you? But boy, did God lay this thing out right or what? He put it together. He didn't say yea or no. There's people today, you know, they're given a job and these people get over there and mess around with it and it comes out being something other than what they were supposed to have built. Now, I've built a lot of stuff over the year, but hey, they just build this something else. What do? You're no good because you're not doing what whoever ordered this needed. Does God do the same thing? Does he make it right inside and say, this is how we do this? We serve a God that's on our side. And he's been on our side all along. And next week, he'll be on your side. And next month and next year. And listen to this. I don't want to alarm you, but you're going to die. And you're going to be put in a grave. And just because you're put in a grave does not mean it's over. That's the good part. Up from the grave he arose. Remember the song? That's what God does for us, isn't it? Lord says, quit talking.